I pray, Father, that we would have hearts to do that and that we would understand how very much our work is needed in this broken world. Father, I pray now that you would set a guard over my lips, that I would speak those things that are right and true, that your Holy Spirit would move to reveal truth to us. And all these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You and I live in a fallen world. Fallen in the sense that it no longer lives up to what would have been experienced if sin had never entered the picture. And part of what that means to live in a fallen world is that none of us are yet experiencing life as life was meant to be. We do still experience good in this world. The pastel colors of a warm spring day, the sound of soft rain falling outside your window, the smell of baking biscuits when you first wake up in the morning, a good night's sleep after a hard day's work, going to concerts with friends, picnics and football games, Monopoly and spades, a new pair of athletic shoes, watching the morning fog lift from the Potomac, roasting marshmallows over a campfire, flying kites on a windy day, reading a great book that you hope will never end, landing that job you've always wanted, meeting old friends at a high school reunion, holding your newborn baby for the first time, curling up by the fireplace with a cup of hot chocolate, moving into your new house, the taste of pizza and ice cream. There's still good that we experience even in the midst of living in a fallen world. In fact, what really should surprise us about living in a fallen world is not that bad things happen. That's only what should be expected in a fallen world. What should surprise us is that good things happen and that there are so many of those good things. But sometimes it doesn't feel that way, does it? Especially when the bad things are happening to you, especially when they seem so bad. The death of a loved one, finding out that your fiancé or spouse has cheated on you, the loss of your job, wrecking the car, your kid going down the wrong path, and nothing you do seems to help. And we haven't even talked about hurricanes, tornadoes, famines, disease, children being sexually abused, drug addiction, divorce, drunkenness, murder, pornography, war, terrorism. While there's much good in our broken world, and in fact, much more good than one would expect to see in a world that has chosen against its creator, there's also ample evidence of this world's fallenness. Romans 8:22 tells us, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever groaned within yourself because of the world's brokenness? Maybe because of the way that brokenness was touching you personally or touching the people you love. God's telling us in these verses that sooner or later, we're all touched by that brokenness and that sometimes it literally seems too much to bear. Which is why the passage goes on to tell us about the hope that we have as believers in verses 24 and 25, about the intercession of the Holy Spirit for us in verses 26 and 27, and about the assurance that God is sovereign in verse 28. Even over the world's brokenness. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Which means it doesn't matter what the origin is of the hurt in our lives, whether it's the consequences of our own sin or ignorance, or the sin and ignorance of others, or simply living in a world where things don't work the way they should work anymore. It doesn't even matter if what's happening comes from the hand of Satan himself, The origin and the scope of the hurt have no impact on the ability of God to act. So that with God, we are still able to say that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Which really is a phenomenal truth. When you think about the magnitude of what that means, all things work together for good. Not some things, not most things, but we're told here that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And if we could only look past the initial horror and hurt, we would see repeated illustrations of that truth. The Bible's filled with examples of it in the lives of Abraham, Moses, Joseph, Rahab, Ruth, David, Jeremiah, Esther, Isaiah, Mary, Paul, and of course Jesus, who we're told in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." God's working all things together for good to those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. In fact, throughout history, we see repeated examples of this. God taking horrendous events that are clear expressions of evil and somehow bringing good out of them. Think about the Holocaust. The Holocaust was one of the most horrendous outbreaks of wickedness ever known. Millions of Jews rounded up, sent to concentration camps, and then gassed to death. And to be honest, even the gassing to death was a mercy considering the other ways they were tormented and killed. If ever there were an illustration of the depths of human depravity and satanic incitement to evil, the Holocaust was that illustration on a massive scale. But I want you to consider the good that God was able to bring out of that evil. As a result of the Holocaust, the world's sympathy was aroused for the Jewish people. And those people who had not had a homeland of their own for 1900 years suddenly had their homeland restored to them. An event unparalleled in human history. An event that probably would never have taken place if not for the Holocaust. That which Satan intended for evil, God was able to turn around and use for good. And if God can do this in the large-scale cases of evil and suffering in our world, how much easier is it for Him to do it on the small scale of our own personal lives? I remember the semester when I was preparing to graduate from seminary, and I was quite confident that God was going to provide me with a vocational ministry opportunity as soon as I graduated. And that wasn't the result of simply some cocky arrogance on my part, though I had that at times. I had really sensed during my quiet times that God was going to open those doors. In fact, I was so sure that I resigned as banquet manager of the seminary and as weekend manager at the Ronald McDonald House prior to my graduation. But graduation came, and still there was no church ministry position. June passed, July. I was going to have to move out of the dormitory since I'd graduated, and still there were no opportunities. I went back home to West Virginia and checked out opportunities there, but every door I tried remained closed. So I decided just to go back to Texas, and I remember spending a day in prayer and fasting, trying to get some direction from God and hopefully some help in job placement. But the only job that came was that of teaching sixth graders at a Christian school in Texas, one of the least favorite jobs I have ever had in my life. And then the next year, teaching high school students in West Virginia, which actually was an enjoyable job. But during that year and a half after seminary, And before being offered the pastorate here at White Plains, I didn't know what in the world God was doing, or even if He was working in my life anymore. Maybe I'd missed God. Maybe I should have done more. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be a pastor. But now I can see much of the good that God was accomplishing during that waiting. For one thing, it gave me more time to spend with my Aunt Jimmy, whom I dearly loved and who died of a brain tumor only a couple of years after I came to White Plains. That second year of waiting, I was teaching at a Christian school near Beckley, West Virginia, only a short drive from my aunt and uncle's home. So I was able to spend a lot of time with my aunt that last year before I came up here. Another good God accomplished through that time that almost seemed like a waste to me was I was able to share the gospel with a guy I met on a tennis court while I was back in West Virginia. A guy who trusted in Jesus as his Savior and who sent me a letter a couple of years after I came to White Plains to tell me that I was a spiritual grandfather because a friend of his had also come to Christ, and that friend later became a pastor. And then, of course, when I first graduated from seminary, White Plains Baptist Church already had a pastor. And had I taken another pastorate, I wouldn't have been in the place where God wanted me to be. So now, in hindsight, I can see at least part of what God was doing during that time of waiting, which was really difficult and confusing for me, but which now enables me to see that God was working all things together for good during a time that I was feeling like my time was being wasted. And just as I came to see God's hand for good in my own life through circumstances I often didn't understand at the time, the same is true for all who love God and are called according to His purpose. The same is true for you. Do you see the glorious truth that God's wanting us to see? It doesn't matter what happens in our lives or who is the cause of what happens. It doesn't matter if the hurt we're experiencing is the result of our own sins or the sins of others or our own foolishness or the foolishness of others or the results of living in a broken world. It doesn't even matter if demonic forces, if even Satan himself is moving against us. God is able to make all things work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So what's our part in the equation? Well, let me give you one final illustration from a TV show that used to be on called Joan of Arcadia. The show was about this teenage girl to whom God decided He would manifest Himself physically. Sometimes God would come to Joan as a janitor, sometimes as a homeless man, sometimes as a college guy. In one particular episode, one of the acts that God asked Joan to perform was to babysit for a single mother she had happened to run into. In the course of babysitting the boy, Joan began to get close to him, and she discovered that he had cystic fibrosis, a fatal lung disease. And when Joan learned this, she became upset with God. She began to blame God, not just for the sickness of this little boy, but for all the suffering in the world. "I thought you had a plan," Joan accused. "What kind of a plan is it when innocent people suffer and die? When little boys die of cystic fibrosis? What kind of a plan is that?" "It's a perfect plan," God answered calmly. "A perfect plan? You call that a perfect plan? Well, why don't you explain your perfect plan to me? Explain to me how all this fits into your perfect plan." And God responded, "I've said all I'm going to say, Jim." And then He walked away. And you know the message that God wanted to get across to Joan? "You're going to have to trust me. You know something as to the character of who I am. You know I've told you, The plan was a perfect plan. And so in the midst of all you don't understand, all that you wouldn't understand, even if I told you, you're simply going to have to trust me. And that's what we are called to do. To trust God during those times we don't understand. Let's pray. You know, I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe life's going pretty well at the moment. Maybe there are problems, but they're sort of minor. On the other hand, maybe there are some of you here and you're really struggling. Maybe it's with direction. Maybe it's with health concerns. Maybe it's with family problems, job problems. God understands. God knows what He's doing. And your responsibility as one who loves Him is to trust Him. And so why don't you just bring whatever it is that you're concerned about right now to God. Talk to Him honestly about it. Tell Him how you feel. Ask Him to give you strength. Ask Him to help you keep trusting. To be patient. To not choose sin. And while you're talking with God about whatever He's placed on your heart, maybe you're here today and you don't yet know this God who wants to work all things together for good in your life. The Bible tells us that the reason for the brokenness of our world, the reason for the brokenness in our own lives is sin. We're separated from God. We're not living up to the creation intent He had when He made human beings. And that brings a lot of suffering and pain. It brings a lot of bondage. It brings hopelessness. But there is an answer to it. And that answer is a person, Jesus, who entered our broken world as a human being, who endured that brokenness Himself, who lived a sinless life, and then gave that life in payment for our sin, in payment for the brokenness of our world. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know if you yet know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, this is your opportunity to come to the one who made you, the one who knows you, the one who wants you to be with Him forever. The only obstacle is your sin. And God has moved to do something about it. Will you receive the gift He's given? The gift of His Son. If you're here this morning and you recognize that you've sinned, that you stand in need of a Savior, that you want to turn from that sin, that Jesus is your Savior, if you would raise your hand, I will lead you in a prayer of commitment. I'll pray the words aloud. You can repeat them silently to God right where you are. All you need to do is raise your hand. Father God, I thank you that you are with us in the midst of the brokenness of this world. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us with groanings that we can't utter, Lord. I thank you, Father, that when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit knows what to say. That when we pray for the wrong things, the Holy Spirit is able to correct our prayers, Lord, and pray for what ought to be prayed for. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. I know some of what it means to live in a broken world. But I know that each of us experience that brokenness in unique ways. And that none of us can ever say that we've really been where someone else has been, Lord. Even if we may have experienced something similar to what they've experienced, because we aren't that person. So I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room, Father, for those who are going through difficult times, that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them, that you would speak hope into their lives. I pray, Father, for those for whom things are going pretty well right now, that you'd help them to remember that this too shall pass, that the dark days are coming, that they need to be prepared. And Lord, help us to remember that the reason for the good times is to remind us of what's ahead. You've given us hints, Lord, even in this broken world, of what you have waiting for us. And thank you for that, God, for these expressions of hope in the gifts that you give us every day. Help us not to take those expressions of hope for granted. To please be with my brothers and sisters, Lord. Cover them with your hand. Help them sense the fullness of your love. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Help them to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.